Okay. Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. Yes, I'm getting old. I've re-injured my knee that I hurt back in January. Just a simple thing, but it hurts. We're going to be studying Isaiah. In the book, it's lesson number 15. We're going to be studying chapters 38 and 39. You're going to find quite a little bit about Hezekiah this morning. It starts with in chapter 38. We'll read the first 8 verses. It says, well, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. Okay? Who is Hezekiah? King of what?
King of Judah.
What do you know about Hezekiah? He's a good king.
All the way through?
Yeah. If you remember what Darius read, was it 2 Chronicles? Last time you read? About how the Hezekiah was. Pax? Yes,
I said he was a good king. He just did bad things every once in a while.
Well, he's like everybody else. He does good things and bad things. Majority of the time, he does good things, but. One good thing about it, he tells, you know, in the scriptures, it tells some of the things that, you know, he was kind of silly or foolish about, I guess is the word that you want to use. And especially when we get to chapter 39, you'll find out. But it says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, okay? Larry?
Yes.
2 Kings 18. 2 Kings. Thank you. So, Hezekiah was a good king. Not always he faithful and servant for the Lord, but we'll talk about a bit later on how good he was to his servants or his reign of his people. But Hezekiah was sick here, and it says near death, and gives the impression here that probably Hezekiah had thought about that. You know, he might die from this. And it says in Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth, and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight, and Hezekiah wept bitterly. So you can see, here's some characteristics of Hezekiah. He gets this bad news that Isaiah comes and says, this is from the Lord. You need to set your house in order because you're going to die, and emphasize that you're not going to live. And so the first thing he'd see here is praise to the Lord with it. And he just basically pulls his heart out to him and says, you know, hopefully you count me as basically as a faithful servant. Verse 4, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Well, you see, the answer to prayer immediately right there that The Lord heard him, and also he's given a little added thing. He says, I'm going to protect the city, protect you, and deliver you from the Assyrians, and protect the city. I will defend it. Verse 7. And this is a sign to you from the Lord that that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow of the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. All right. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he began his 29-year reign. And that's found in 2 Kings 18, verse 2. So he's 25 years old, and he reigns for 29 years. Since God had added 15 years to his life at the time of his sickness, it occurred in the 14th year of his reign. So if he died in the year 686 B.C., his sickness occurred around 701 B.C. And this was the year of Sennacherib's effort to take Judah and Jerusalem. This is when the Assyrians were going to invade and take Jerusalem here, 701. So the time frame for this is actually probably a little bit before the end of chapter 37, where you see the 185,000 angel came of Assyrian soldiers. And so this is in about 701, 14th year reign of Hezekiah. And you talk about in those days, he's talking about basically the Assyrians, which he's talking about here. When his illness came about him, the sickness near death, it seemed that death was probably invariable coming to him. He said, the Lord says, they'll set the house in order, for you shall die and not live. Okay, he lets him know that you're going to die, but he said, you're not living. You're going to depart from this earth. And he says, I'm giving you time now for you to understand that you need to set your house in order. There are things that you need to be doing. You are the king. Well, where is his house and also the government thing? Certain things need to be taken in consideration before you die. Then they talk about King Hezekiah turned his face and he prayed to the wall. And he wept while he did this, and he shows that he talks about his loyalty, his righteousness, and pureness of the heart. He goes to the Lord in prayer after he hearing that he died or was going to die. He comes to the Lord in prayer and pours out the heart and says, I count myself as a faithful servant for you. I tried to do your will. I try to have a loyal, pure heart. Try to be righteous to do your will. I want you to understand this while he's praying, while he's praying for it. And the Lord hears it. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. There apparently was a short time. If you look in the Kings, Isaiah had already left. But here's a short time that the Lord comes to Isaiah and tells him that he's got a change of heart. He's going to reverse it. Now, can you find a good example like this for a positive prayer? How it can change God's heart, his mind? He had just told Isaiah, said, you go tell him that he's going to die shortly. He's going to die from this illness. And he prays to him, and then he comes back and he tells him, I've heard your prayer. That I'm going to give you 15 more years for you. And so prayer does work. Here's an example of it. Now, here's some illustrations of some sundials. This was the promise that the Lord had made that he would deliver the king, all of that the Assyrians would not come, and that he would deliver the king and the city out of it, and he would tell him, here's a sign that I'm going to give you. And basically, I'm going to turn the sundial back 10 years. This one right here is probably, we're more familiar with this type right here, sundial. But during this period of time, this is the one that most of the sundials, matter of fact, this is taking a picture from some museum I can't think of, which is they classify this as the sundial of Ahaz. Whether that's true or not, I know. But I have really basically never seen one. But you look right here, there's a little, like a pencil or a little rod sticking out there, and there's your shadow. And that's how you measure the sun wise. Now, going back 10 degrees, I don't really know what the time factor. I can guess at it. I don't know what the sundial, if it's based off of 360 degrees of a circle or anything like that, if you take 10 degrees off the time, if you figure it out, it would be about 20 minutes. But I don't know if that would be accurate or not. But do you think people could tell that the sun went back 10 degrees? Do you know? Second Chronicles says, you go look, and I can't remember what chapter, but in Second Chronicles, there was people that had come to inquire what had happened in Judah with the period, with the time, with the sun going backwards that way. So you could tell it, there was a change. And what we used to doing this, if you could not tell it anyway. This is God's sign that what I'm telling you, Hezekiah, that I am giving you 15 years and I'm going to deliver you from the Assyrians. This city will not be destroyed. I will defend it. And here is my sign that the sun will go backwards 10 degrees. And it did. And it could be told that you can see that sun back went back 10 degrees. It's not only for him that are saying, but other people also saw this happen. And this is what he's talking about. He says, what use to giving you a sign if you can't tell anything about it? Well, here's a sign. Yes, it is. And you think that would be an easy task to do? Well, for God, anything is easy. But people there, you think they would be impressed with that? Yes, they were with this. Because this is a thing that you will never see unless the Lord does it again, if this is going to happen. Right.
So if it was early in the morning or on towards evening, it would really be impressive that, you know, the sun went
backwards. Yeah. Yeah. You think about it. Sun go backwards. And like I said, I don't know the time frame because I really don't understand the sundial and how they did it back there because the sundials are different. But I'm just going that if you go with a circle of 360 degrees, you can do the math on this. It's about 20 minutes. But that's something that you still can tell with it. And it may be even different from that. But it's like I said, they saw it because in 2 Chronicles, they had people that inquire what happened in Judah at this particular time that they could tell that the sun went backwards. Anything else? All right. Now, verses 9 to 20. This is a writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. All right, here's a psalm that he wrote. And he starts in verse 10. He says, I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion. So he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you shall make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so I shatter. I mourn like a dove. My eyes fail from looking upward. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me alive. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. In the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of your life in the house of the Lord. All right, this psalm that he wrote here, Hezekiah, divided basically in three parts. The first part, verses 10 to 14, is a lamentation. He talks about his life being taken early. Then the second part, the blessings of affliction, verses 15 through 18, then rejoicing, verses 19 through 20. He talks about here, in start with verse 10, about the prime of his life. How old was Hezekiah when he became sick? 39. Is that the prime of life? For me, it would be. I don't know if you're 39, you call that prime or not. But to him, that's the prime of his life. 39 years old. And he's going to die. And he tells and says, I shall go down to the gates of Sheol. Now, reading this, I would assume, that's what I have, that he probably did not know that much about the afterlife. You think about it, in the New Testament, we learn quite a bit about heaven and the afterlife. But how much did they really know? And he talked about going to the gates of Sheol. And basically, you know, once the gates of Sheol was closed, there's no return, he says. I am cut off. And so he's looking at the thing and says, look, my life, 39 years old, it shall be gone. And I can't return among the living. He said, Hezekiah will not see Jehovah. In his thinking, he won't see Jehovah. He won't not see God down in Sheol. He says that, you know, beyond the death, where is God? Who can praise God? And he makes a comparison, and I like this. He uses two examples, like the shepherd's tent. When a shepherd is out with the herd, they're in the pasture and thing, and then when it's time to move on, he takes the shepherd, take his tent down. And that's what Hezekiah thinks. My shepherd tent's coming down. I am coming down. Then he also talks about the loom. How the weaver here works on the thing that he's weaving here. Then when he gets finished, he cuts it off. He's not fooling. He's not with it. The Lord is my loom, or is my weaver. And he cuts me off. I'm not there anymore. This is how Hezekiah is thinking about death. I will not be inhabited among the living anymore. He's trying to see what is this life I'm going to. I have just prayed. I've been a servant of God. I've known God. I'm a fellowship of God. Am I losing all that? Is there praise from Sheol for God? You can see it from the living that you praise and worship him. But can you do that from the pit? From Sheol? And he's talking about that. You can see where his mindset is when he would talk about this and pray. Facts? Mm-hmm.
And he recognizes that God forgave him of his sin. Before that, he said, I was going to go and see, in verse 1 there, verse 10, he says, the crown of life, I go to the gates of Sheol. So maybe his perspective was that he had committed sin, his life was a condemnation, he was going to the gates of Sheol, going to hell, and then he prayed to God and asked for forgiveness. God forgave him.
Yeah, what Pax, I think he's talking about here from a standpoint that in verse 1, he had a sickness and he was near death, that then he comes in and the Lord tells him that, Isaiah tells him that the Lord says, you're going to die. Make your house in order. That this is possibility from his sins, everything. And then he's talking about here the aspect of the unknown here where he goes, maybe to hell or Hades, and see where he won't be able to see Jehovah and stay in depth like that way with that. It very well could be the point here. You have to look from the whole picture, what we understand from Hezekiah in the past and Hezekiah here in the 38th, and also we see it in the 39th chapter how he is. I am very impressed with Hezekiah. I'll just tell you that. What he has done and what he's doing. His prayer, when he went to the Lord and when he found out that he was going to die, I thought that was impressive. Now, when you get to the 39th chapter, now he does some very unimpressive things. But that one I thought he was doing. And in his comment, he's writing to his psalm here. These are his thoughts, what he's trying to relate, and trying to see what he is thinking with these. And the first part of the thing is, did he start writing this when he was sick, before he was told that he was going to die? I don't know. It doesn't really say. It could have been just said afterward in sickness and recovery. It could have been he wrote this all in one thing. And very well, and I would probably be inclined to think that way. But he goes back, and he's talking about basically his life or everything like that with it. But the same token, he's looking at death, realistic. And he says, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't understand some of these things. I don't know. I don't really understand what's afterlife, what after death. I know right now. And he says, I am going to miss this side, the habitation with among the living. What you can do. What a life you can have with God. what you can have with your fellow mankind, those that serve God. And he talks about it at the end. He tells the father, he tells, you tell your children to live righteous, everything, worship God, everything. But he has this unknown factor, what is going to happen once I'm dead? And I think he's talking about that, that it very well could be that I just really don't understand. But he says, Lord, how can I praise you when I'm down in Sheol or in Hades? You know, are you there like you are here on earth? Are you there also? Do people, when they're in Hades, do they praise you also? I mean, they're just, he doesn't know, it seems like, as much about death, what the afterlife, as maybe we do, because we have the New Testament. We have some more insight into the New Testament. And it could be that he's like this. But then you see his tone changes as he goes through this. That's in the first part. Then he told in verse 15, there's a difference in it. He's got this deliverance now. And he's going to have life again. Will it make a difference in him in this 15 years than it was before? That's what he says. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, he says, O Lord, by these things men live. Hezekiah is thinking of experiences such as he has passed through, and the blessings that come from trials that he has gone through. Well, he says, so you will restore me and make me live. For God has so promised to find the true life to fellowship with God. What am I going to do with this 15 years that God has given me? He has talked about before when he prayed. His life he thought was righteous. I did the things what I thought that you wanted me to do. I worshiped you. I did things for you. I had fellowship with you. But my life now that you've given me 15 years, it's a different concept with him now. Can ye be better? Can you and I be better? And he says, I am thankful for that. What he's talking about. Very much so that I am thankful for that. And he said, verse 19, Hezekiah is experiencing life. He not only expresses his own praise of God, but also who are all in right relationship with God. Now he's talking about. Now he said, urge the fathers to tell the truth to the children, who God is, and you worship him. And I like verse 20, said, God stands ready to save at any time. I went to prayer. I earnestly went to prayer to God, and he was ready. He was waiting for me. I prayed for him, and I got an answer immediately. Isaiah came back and said, I am going to give you 15 years. And not only that, Isaiah, I am going to save this city. I'm going to defend it for you. Assyria will not take it. And he says, I will give you even a sign that's making us sure that this will happen. Ahaz had closed the doors of Jehovah's house, setting up altars to false gods throughout Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles 28:24. But Hezekiah had restored proper worship, including the songs and music with both David and he had introduced, 2 Chronicles 29. See what Hezekiah has done? Ahaz, put off all this high places, idols are in play. Hezekiah said, no, I will bring back the proper worship to God. The way that God wants us to worship him. Not how we want to worship idols, but we will worship God. I will worship God and my people will worship God. And he talks about the songs and music. All right. Now, the last part. Verse 21. Now, Isaiah has said, Let them take a lump of figs and ply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. All right, here's his illness. He's got a boil. And Isaiah's telling, okay, now you get a lump of figs, you make a poultice and put it on a boil, and he shall recover. Now, people, it's not in the figs. It's in God. But if it didn't happen, it wouldn't happen. He wouldn't be saved. It's just like Naaman. You go dip 7 times, your leprosy will be done. Did it 6 times, wouldn't do it. But here, you put this on there, he shall recover. Then Hezekiah has said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Okay. This seems like it's our place. I don't know. It should be, you would think, on the other places, but I have no answer for that. But this is what the sickness was. He had a boil. And apparently it was a very serious one that he was near to death. Is there anything on the, else on the 38th chapter anybody has? All right, 39. At that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armor, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came to me from a foreign country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, well, they have seen all that's in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the words of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, word of the Lord which you have spoken is good, for he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. All right. Now, I don't know what Hezekiah was thinking. Now, this is one I have praised him and praised him, but this one I cannot praise Hezekiah. I know they brought him letters, brought him a present. Thankful that he recovered from his sickness and everything like that. But why, oh, why would you do this? Well, I'll tell you what I think. Pride. Apparently, you know, he has got his wealth back. Remember, he had, beforehand, he had given everything to the Assyrians. I think Larry said about $50 million worth in our day's time. But apparently, he has got been rich. The Lord has blessed him. He's got riches again. But Isaiah says, what did these men say? Hezekiah didn't answer that one. And he says, where did he come from? He said, well, they come from a far country, from Babylon. What have they seen? Well, everything is in my house and in my dominion. Did he take them all throughout the country? I don't think so, but I think he showed them enough in the city there that, that they understood. I think Hezekiah had a moment of weakness here and that pride got into him. I think also that he wanted to for them to understand that he was a king that they should regard. He was something other. That's his pride. He has all this, and he's boasting about it. And something that he should not have boasted about. As he said beforehand, and given that 15 years, how much better he was going to be. He should be given the praise to God for all the stuff he's got. And just says, the Lord had just told him, he says, well, the Lord has blessed me and not showed him that way. But, verse 6, behold, the days are coming. Doesn't say when. When all that is in this house, that's got everything that you got, and also which the fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried to Babylon. This is the first reference you notice about Babylon captivity. Nothing shall be left, and that's going to be guaranteed by the Lord. Not only is he going to lose his wealth and everything, but what about his sons, his descendants? He said, not only will Hezekiah's treasure possession be carried into Babylon, but also his descendants will be taken there and serve as eunuchs in the king's house, where this is where they are mutilated, whatever, or they are just put as officers in the king's court, which is like Daniel was. And I would incline to believe that, but I'm not for sure. But, you know, the answer that Hezekiah, when I first read that, I said, Hezekiah, that's not a good answer. The words of the Lord which you have spoken is good. You're going to lose everything, and your descendants are going to become servants inside the kings of the Babylon. But you have to understand, Hezekiah, and I think he's basically, he got back to humility. Thanks.
Remember when David numbered the people, and then God said, I think it was Nathan the prophet came to him there,
yeah,
and said, why'd you number the people? Because they weren't allowed to do that. And basically his pride got the way, and he numbered the people to see how powerful he was.
That's right. You read this several times. You come, like I said, an appreciation. And when I first read this to Ian, I said, man, that's not right. Then you go back, and like you said, he answered every answer truthfully. He didn't lie or change or anything like that. And I think, you know, he probably got a hold of him. But now, since God had come to it and realized this, his humility had come back to him. Thank you very much.